great reminder. Hey, we've been doing this series on gifts and grace, and this is the last Sunday for that. This last Sunday, I'll talk about it publicly like this, but that doesn't mean we're absolutely done with it. We're going to continue processing all of this stuff in church, and we want to take the results from where we go today with this and see how that applies to the church, and I think that'll find meaningful places for all of us to volunteer. So let me do a quick recap, and we're going to do that, and then we're going to get to the test, the spiritual gifts inventory. So here we got this. I talked from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 the first week we were here, and it's kind of a primer on spiritual gifts, and I had several points, and here are the points. You are gifted, and absolutely each one of you, if you're in Christ, you have a spiritual gift, at least one, possibly more than one. The second one, God chose your gift for you. You didn't choose it. You don't get to choose. God knows how you best operate, and He's the one who gave you the spiritual gift with His in mind. Why do we have gifts? Why did God do gifts? When you read in the Scriptures, we have gifts to, as we function as a body, we are unified, and we are mature, and we are stable. Unity, maturity, and stability. It's a reason that God gave gifts. And when we're firing on all eight cylinders, that happens in the body of Christ. So we want to do that. Number four, don't ignore this. There are more than one warning. There are ample warnings in Scripture that you're not to ignore these kind of things. That God has given us gifts and abilities, and He's given us a background and personality, and He expects we will answer to Him one day what we did with what we were given. So that is what we have to answer to the Lord. Don't ignore what He's done. And then number five, we see in 1 Corinthians 12 diversity on display. And we use the example of a symphony orchestra where there are a lot of different people, all kinds of different people, all kinds of different instruments. But when they're under the baton of the maestro, the conductor, that all come together and they all make a great, beautiful sound, which is why we need number six, we need to preserve unity. And as we are unified, and Jesus prayed for our unity in John chapter 17, and that's when that beautiful sound can be made with the diverse number of people and personalities and gifts and abilities and backgrounds come together and make a good sound, preserve unity. And then there are some prohibitions or problems with unity. What did I had? Hindrances to unity. Hindrance number one is I don't belong, and Paul talked about that. There's a tendency for those in the body to say, oh, I'm not, I don't belong. I don't have that much experience. I'm a rather new believer. I just don't have the kind of personality you guys up front do. I don't belong. And Paul says that's a hindrance to unity. We all belong. Every part of the body is important and necessary. And then the second hindrance is kind of the opposite of that, is that I don't need you. You got some people that say, I'm fine the way I am. I don't need you people. And I've used the example before about people that I know, dear friends that I know, that basically say, I don't need the church. I mean, and they're done with church, and they had a bad church experience. And which one of us has not had a bad church experience along the lines somewhere? But the church is the church of Jesus Christ. It is he instituted it, and He has given gifts and abilities for us to function together. So we cannot say, I don't need you. So that's what we talked about the first Sunday. The second Sunday, we talked about this. We looked at the Greek words for spiritual gift and grace, and we looked at this. So char is the root word for a number of words, and we see this in charis. And we mentioned if you know somebody named Carissa, that's their name Grace, basically. And then look at charisma is the word used for a free gift or a spiritual gift. And then kara is the word for joy. And I think they all fit together when God gives us grace. And we saw that in salvation, it's a free gift of grace. And so those things go together in salvation. They also go together with spiritual gifts. It's a grace package that God gives to us in a spiritual gift. We don't earn it. We can't buy it. Is something that God gives. And when we function the way God intended for us to do, when we recognize it's His grace, it's not comes from us, it's His, then we have joy. And that's the same word that's used for joy in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So these things go together. And we see this in Romans 12:6 when Paul talks about the gifts in Romans chapter 12. He said, we have different charismata, that's the plural of charisma. We have different charismatic gifts, according to the charis given to each of us, the grace given to each of us. And like I mentioned, that is something that is the case with salvation and the case with spiritual gifts. And we looked at this in Romans chapter 6. And the wages of sin is death, but the charisma of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's all that we have is of grace. It's the grace of God that has come to us to save us, to draw us to himself, giving us eternal life. Amazing gift. And the same process is involved when we have the spiritual gift. We become believers in Christ and we are given a grace package. And that is a way to operate within the body. So we can participate with God in what he's doing. And we can, it's not just a select few that are doing all the stuff in the church. It's all of us functioning together, doing our parts, that we can have an effective ministry with God. We partner with him when we accept his grace and his grace package and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I serve? And so that was that week. We also looked at the very key passage in Ephesians, and we saw this in Ephesians chapter 4. Christ himself gave in the leadership gifts, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? To equip his people for works of service. So it's not that the evangelists, pastors, apostles, they do all this stuff and the rest of us sit and look. It's that we help train, to equip you to give service in different parts of the body. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. So when we're all functioning, we are built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That's how we become mature. We get busy and active and we work together with the body of Christ, working with others, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. And we got lots of that going on in the world. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. We grow together and build one another up as what? Each part does its work. So that as we do what we are given to do, take that grace package and function with that, then that's unity, stability, and maturity, which is what Paul talks about in this passage here. And then we looked at a very excellent summary of the gifts from 1 Peter by that apostle. And he uses the same words that the apostle Paul used here. For each of you should use whatever gift, it's charisma, same word, whatever charisma you've been received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. That's his charis. And so he puts the charisma and charis together as well. Peter does. And he calls us faithful stewards. And I said back in the first century, a steward was one who was responsible to hand things out in the household, make sure everybody got their food and what they needed to do the jobs they were given to do. And that's what a steward is. And so faithful stewards, you and I have been given the task by God to hand out what we have to other people, what we've been given. Faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then rather than listing the gifts like the Apostle Paul did, Peter gives us two categories. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, that's the second category, speaking and serving gifts, they should do so with the strength God provides. So if you got a speaking gift, use God's words. If you got a serving gift, use God's strength, filled with the Holy Spirit, leaning on him, praying in dependence upon him. And here's why we do this. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Absolutely. We then saw that Paul, looking at this whole view of gifting, was amazed at the amazing nature of God's plan. And he erupts in that doxology in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of riches, the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay them? And I love this line, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So when we, like Peter talked about, and we take the gift we've been given, and we use, if it's a speaking gift, we use God's words. If it's a serving gift, we use God's strength, and God gets glory because it all comes from Him. The grace of salvation comes from God. And it comes to us, and it's a free gift. And along that, with the grace of a gift, a grace package of a spiritual gift, an ability to serve alongside God in the body of Christ, comes from Him. It's all from Him, through Him, with His power, and for Him, for His glory and honor. And that's why we do what we're doing here. Now, that'd be a great place to say amen, but wait, there's more. We're going to... We read the animal story last week about the different animals and how they were all made to be the same and weaknesses were emphasized and strengths not, and we don't want to be like that. And I said this, everybody's a 10 in some area. And so you think, well, I'm not up front, I'm not on the worship team, I don't serve in one, I don't do this. Well, you're a 10 in some area. God made you to function. And it's just a matter of finding where you best function and how you best function. And so we talked about this, and I borrowed from Rick Warren the shape word, and the shape stands for each of these things. S is for spiritual gifts, and that answers the question, what am I gifted to do? And we talked about that. H is for heart, and that answers the question, what do I love to do? And you really need to ask yourself that question when it comes to heart. What's your passion? What do you love to do? The third one is abilities. I'm sorry, Frederick Buechner. We saw this with great quote. He's a theologian and author and a pastor. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I think that's fascinating, that we can actually serve God in a place where we make what makes us glad, what brings us joy, what we love to do. We can serve God in that and meet the world, the deep hunger of the world. Fascinating concept. All right, then we talked about abilities, and that answers the question, what natural talents and skills do I have? We said spiritual gifts are not necessarily abilities because spiritual gifts are a supernatural ability, and sometimes they're the same and sometimes they aren't. And that, what natural talents, and then personality, where does my personality best suit me to serve? Because some of you are extroverts and some are introverts, and where would the church be if we were all one or the other? Some of you are task-oriented, some of you are information-oriented, some of you are people-oriented. And it's good to know what kind of personality you have, how you're made, and it's okay to be an introvert or an extrovert. It's okay to be task-oriented rather than people-oriented. That's all right. God uses all of these things together in the body. And then I used Karen Rice as an example, and I'm going to pick on Karen again, because I think the example of what Karen has done just really kind of ties all this together. And I mentioned that Karen has got a wide and varied background, and she grew up in she's living now very close to where she grew up in Green Bluff, and she's rode motorcycles, she played hockey, she volunteered for the police department. You'll have to ask her about that someday. And she loves sewing, she loves cooking, she loves teaching. She was Teacher of the Year once in Washington State. Got trained to be a teacher and taught for a number of years. She owned a catering company. And a few years ago, she took Doug Osborne's spiritual gifts class that we have here at the church, and she found out that her gift, her primary gift, is serving or helping, so helps or service. And how she applies that, she loves teaching, cooking, and sewing. And so she goes down to Anna Ogden Hall once a month and teaches gals there to sew. And then she also makes a killer lunch for us on Mondays. And that's the ladies who make quilts for ministry purposes. And Rick and I just happen to be here, and we get to take advantage of that. Sometimes some of you drop by right at 11:30 on Mondays, and you go, oh, well, at lunch, that's fine. There's usually plenty of food. Karen also volunteers at UGM Wednesdays. She goes out and helps them to cook the lunch. And she brings cookies for the guys, and they'll line up to get stuff. And then when she goes and eats lunch with the guys and talks with them afterwards. So Karen has, using her spiritual gift, combined with the things she loves, combined with the abilities she's learned over the years, and she's serving God, and she said, I have more energy than I need for this kind of thing. And that's absolutely amazing. I believe you will have energy when you're doing what God made you to do. combining your loves and experience and abilities and your personality, all those kind of things. All right. That's about Karen, but what about you? And today, the rest of today is about you. And today we're going to have an opportunity to discover your gift and put it together with your shape to see how you best fit with some of the things that we have, like the bulletin insert and the green piece of paper we gave to you earlier. Taking the test is one part of discovering your spiritual gift. Let me ask you a question. How many people ride bicycles or know how to ride bicycles? Most people. All right. Let me ask you this. Did you learn to ride a bicycle by reading a manual or by getting on the bike and trying it? Unless you're really obsessive compulsive or something, you're not going to read a manual on riding a bicycle. That's the same way with spiritual gifts. You get on and try it. You just start riding. And sometimes, and like we discovered the Cammy Whitmire story last week, that she got on the Awanab's bike last year teaching little kids and found that she just wasn't cut out for that. And now she switched to doing a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights at Awana, and that fits her so much better. So she got on the bike, discovered that wasn't a good fit, and that's what you can do as well. So experience is one way to discover your spiritual gift. The test we're going to take today is another one. I also told you about asking people who know you well, what gift do you think I have? And so those are different ways. You can get a book. I'd recommend C. Peter Wagner's book on discovering your spiritual gifts. That's on Amazon. I looked recently. You can pick that up. So those are ways to discover your gifts. But today we're going to take a test. And now the service is unusual. And if you're a visitor today, let me apologize in advance, because this is not a normal service. Normally, I would get up and preach from the Bible, and then we would sing a last song and head out to cookies. Hallelujah. But today we're going to give you an opportunity to take a spiritual gifts inventory. And we're going to have the ushers now are going to pass that out. We have inventories. Let me see the hands of kids who are 6th grade through high school that you would like to take a test, because we've got specific ones for young kids. So it's the hands of kids who want to take a spiritual gifts test of like 5th or 6th grade through high school. Okay, who's got the youth? Okay, we got the youth. Keep your hands up and we'll get those to you. And the rest are adults, if you would pass out the adults test as well. So the kids, keep your hands up. Adults don't have to have their hands up. But we've got 15 of these tests, and we hope to have enough for each of the kids. Try the kid one first. No, you cannot try a kid one, bud. I think unless you've got a PS5 at home and you chew a lot of bubble gum or something. I don't know. Yes, we have the adult test. Everyone should have an adult test. So the kid tests are being passed out. We'd like you to get an adult test and a spiritual gifts inventory. And Bill here has got pens. If you need a pen, we've got a pen for you to hand out as well. Let me tell you this. If you are a visitor and this, you just really don't care about the gifts test, and then we welcome you to come back. We have refreshments in the fellowship hall. There's coffee out there. You can go back and get the best, the cream of the crop, the best pick. If you are a visitor and you would like to take a gifts test, be our guest. I think we have enough for you. You're sure more than welcome to take a spiritual gifts inventory and know, use that knowledge in your own ministry wherever you're at. So everyone, by the time we're done here, everyone... Becca. Here we go. Okay. Test one. There we go. Test one, two. All right. So by the time we finish, everyone should have a gifts inventory and a shape profile. Two pieces of paper. Well, one stapled piece of paper, the other one. And we have pens if you need them. Let me say this. I know that some of you have recently taken spiritual gift test. If you have recently taken a spiritual gifts test and you know what your spiritual gifts are, you can go ahead to the shape profile and fill that out. And when the shape profile is done, you can hand that to me, Pastor Rick, or one of the ushers. We encourage you to keep, once you discover your spiritual gift, keep that gifts inventory for yourself and fill out the shapes profile. Sherry, do I have some? There we go. Let me draw your attention to the to the thing up here. This is for both the adults and the kids test. Let me do this first. By the way, you saw a copyright on the bottom of that. We have permission to use this test as long as we don't sell it and as long as we don't change a word on it. And we have not changed a word. So we have permission to do this test and to hand it out in the church context. There are several gifts missing from this. I'll take the list of gifts. Here are the ones missing on the test you're taking right now. Healing, miracles, word of knowledge, tongues, and interpretation. They are missing in part because those gifts tend to be self-evident, that if you've got those gifts, you probably know you have them. But let me hasten to add, I do not believe that you can support in Scripture the idea that some of the gifts passed away with the coming of the canon of Scripture. I just feel that's not tenable in Scripture. We believe all the gifts are an application. If you have one of those and want to find out more, there's ways to find out those out. And you'll see the answers on there. You said, you know, what you do is if you read one of the things, at number one, if you don't, that doesn't match you at all, totally not like you, put a number one. If you read a statement and, oh, that's me, put a number five down or something in between. So that's the situation there. Let me again say this. I know you're started. You want to get this done. Don't overthink the questions on this. Go with your first gut. Go with, when you read that, these are talked about in many different ways. The same ideas are given different questions. So don't overthink this. With first impression, write it down. Go with the first answer that pops into your head. And when you're done, you can keep the gifts test, fill out the gifts profile, the spiritual shape profile, and give it to me, Pastor Rick, or to one of the ushers. Now, Rick and I will be available if there's any questions for this. Does everybody have a pen, a test, shapes profile? Anybody need anything? All right, good. Let's pray some of that praise music, Sherry, and we will be here to answer questions. If you have a question, pop up your hand. Be more than happy to help you with that. When you're done, shapes profile to Rick, myself, or one of the ushers, and then keep the gifts test and head back to coffee and cookies. It's that piece of paper right there. Thank you. Don't forget, if you know your gift and you want to just fill out the shapes profile and hand that to us, you can be first to the snacks. When we're done, you should give the shapes profile to me, Pastor Rick, or one of the ushers. Yes, names. Names on the shape profile. Names and contact information. And we will be discreet with that. We're not going to mail that out to anybody. Not going to sell the list to anybody. I appreciate your patience and doing this. This is a little unusual. We're out of the box, but that's okay. I think it's going to serve God's kingdom. Hopefully this is some good self-discovery for you. And it's going to hopefully put you in places where you serve. And it's, I can't say exactly stress-free, but a lot less stress than doing something you're not made to do. Don't forget, we need your shape profile when you're done. You can keep the test. And then when you're done, head back to cookies. Thank you. scoring for that should be pretty self-evident. As in the back page, you put the numbers in the different columns, and it'll be evident to you, or what probably evident, what gifts you have. And remember, you keep the test, but fill out the shape profile with your name and that contact info, and give that back to us. And we got some great killer snacks in the back for those of you who are ready. Again, if you have any questions or you need some help, we discovered there's some people did not get the gifts inventory, just the shape profile. So if you need something, we're making more copies. Let us know. And when you're ready, just you can hand the shapes profile to one of the ushers or myself and Rick, and you can head back to Snack Central. Mm-hmm.